Good evening. Good evening. Who just joined? Good evening. Can you hear me? Someone just joined. Are you on mute? Good evening. This is Pastor Jim Monroe. I'm just checking to see who just joined us. Can you hear me? We're checking our audio. Can you hear? The call is coming from Madison, Wisconsin. Amen. Anyhow, praise the Lord. Good evening.
Hallelujah.
Yes, glory to God. I'm blessed.
Awesome. I'm awesome. Yes. And highly favored. Yes, sir.
You're highly favored, huh?
Yes, sir.
Praise
yes,
the Lord.
Sir.
Yeah. Brother Tavon, God bless you.
God bless. God bless, man.
Yeah, we've got a caller on the line that I'm not sure of who it is. They haven't acknowledged themselves. I don't know if they can hear us or not. I'm just trying to check if they can. If you can just say, I hear you, I'd appreciate it, wireless caller. Right at this point, we have Sister Hawanda, we have Brother Tavon, and then we have wireless callers. So if I didn't call your name, please acknowledge yourself. That's interesting. Praise
is
the
that
Lord.
Sister Jewel McIntosh?
Is that Sister Jewel?
She said she was going to join now.
Yeah, maybe she's here. Maybe something's happening with her phone and she can't. Yeah, if you're not able to hear, or if you're able to hear and not speak, you might want to hang up and dial back in. Sometimes it's just a bad connection to the system. But how's everybody doing? I'll start with Brother Tavon. How's your week going?
Oh, everything's good. Everything. Hey, man, I'm blessed. Week is going great. You know, it's normal is good, like we always say. So, no drama, no unexpected things. I don't like the unexpected, but you know, they happen. But nothing unexpected, so everything's copacetic.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, no surprises, nothing out of the box.
No.
And the devil wasn't attacking this week.
Not at all. Not that I know of yet, anyway. Everything's good.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Sister Hawanda, how was your week?
My week has been excellent. Praise report. KJ'll be coming home this week.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Yes, hallelujah.
Pastor Monroe.
Yes, ma'am.
That's me, Shaquilla. I'm on, but I'm at work, so I have just my AirPods in listening.
Praise the Lord, Shaquilla. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Uh-huh. I'm going back on mute.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead, Sister Juan. The praise report. KJ is coming back home.
Yes, yep. He's coming home. Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes, yes. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And what so what constitutes him coming home? Has there been progress? Is there?
Yes, there's been progress. There's been progress. Okay. He went from having two people to chaperone him down to one, and then down to none, to where he's just doing everything and complying with all of their rules. And then I could also see the difference on my own and him being more like himself, you know, which is
that's
a beautiful
good
thing. Yes, hallelujah.
How old is he?
He's 20.
Oh, okay. Young man. That's good to hear. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Handsome young kid. Handsome young kid. It's just the devil needs to get up off of him so he can
absolutely
move on and be the glory of God that God called him to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And he's got plenty of love and support to get him there. His mom is an awesome mom. I've known her for a long time, and I've watched her deliver love to her child.
Mm.
It's not that, you know, it's not that kind of, I'm so tired of this. She's fought a good fight of faith, and God is going to be true to his nature. And you're
hallelujah
going to see a manifestation that's going to be amazing. So
hallelujah,
praise the Lord. Glory
hallelujah
to God.
Yes.
So we also
hallelujah
have Sister Shaquilla here. She can't speak because she's at work, but she promised that she was going to clue in and start coming to Bible studies and start to coming back to church. Shaquilla is a beautiful, wonderful young lady that we want to make sure we nurture and encourage to be the best that she can be. She's already
thanks
a great
for being
lady
here, sir.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to open up in prayer. And let people join as they need to join. And we're in the book of Romans, the 16th chapter tonight, correct?
Yeah, did we finish 15?
I believe,
yeah,
I thought
15.
We did.
Did we?
We did.
Okay.
Yep. So we're going to start with 16. And then I'm going
to
ask a couple of questions about.
Yeah, to leave off, that's what it was, but we did finish 16.
We did finish it, right?
Yes, sir.
Right, and Tavon ended up taking up. That's right. Okay. Go ahead, Tavon.
No, I kind of forgot. I left a little early last
mm-hmm
week. No wonder.
Yeah,
and
I saw the house. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's coming along slowly but surely.
Yeah, leave a little room in the back for the old people. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm back there with you. I'm getting up there myself.
There you go. All right, so let's open up in prayer and praise the Lord. God is doing just amazing things. It's not always, you know, it's not easy to understand everything about God. And I don't know that there's anybody that could honestly open their mouth and say, yeah, I get it all. I just don't think that there is. But I can guarantee you having 25% of the knowledge that we're supposed to have in God is better than having any education and any PhD you'll ever get.
Come on, yeah.
It's an amazing journey. It's a beautiful understanding of life, and it gives you a lot of peace and wisdom, especially when it comes down to dealing with turmoil, trouble, tribulations, trials, because those things are coming. And when you have to deal with that stuff by yourself without Christ in your life, it's hard. But if you've got Christ and you understand how he works through what Christ is, you will be all right. Glory to God. You will be all right. You'll get there. Praise the Lord. So let's start off with prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Hawanda to open us up. Brother Tavon, you're going to close us up. So, Sister Wanda, if you would, please.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba, Father, Yah, we thank you. We thank you for being magnificent. We thank you for being awesome. We thank you for being terrific. We thank you for being more than amazing. Hallelujah. We thank you that you don't need no help being you. Hallelujah. We thank you that you stand on your own. Hallelujah. And that by no means will your word change. I thank you for giving us promises and principles to stand on. Hallelujah. I thank you for sweet Holy Spirit that you sent us as a comforter, a director, a leader, a guide, a hallelujah, one that will never fail. Hallelujah. I thank you. I just want to give you adoration, hallelujah, and praise, because all of it belongs to you and you deserve it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for being I am that I am. Thank you for being a father to the fatherless. Thank you for being a mother to the motherless. Thank you for being a friend that sticks closer than any other than any brother. Thank you for being a ram in the bush. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a fly on the wall. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a bridge over troubled water. Hallelujah.
Well,
thank you for everything. Thank you that you don't miss. Hallelujah. And that your timing is perfect. So I thank you for being a mountain mover. I thank you for being a mind regulator. I thank you for being a heart fixer. Hallelujah. I thank you that there's no dis-ease in you, that you was wounded for our transgressions. You was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are delivered. Hallelujah. We are set free. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you that we are children of the King. So I pray that you always give us humility, that we can stay humble. Hallelujah. That we come to you as little children. Hallelujah. And that we don't puff ourselves up more than we ought to. Hallelujah. That we will remain teachable no matter how old we get, knowing that we can never stop learning. Because if we do, we might as well leave this place. Hallelujah. Because you are the one, God, that giveth and take away. Hallelujah. I thank you for who you are in our lives. Hallelujah. I thank you that there's fullness of joy in you, that there's peace, that there's love. Hallelujah. 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 And that you are the void filler. Hallelujah. So everything that we feel like is missing in our life, hallelujah, I thank you for being the it. Hallelujah. The I am. Hallelujah. 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 You deserve our worship on today. You deserve our praise. Hallelujah. Because you already done enough on today. Hallelujah. So we just lift you up. Hallelujah. We magnify you, y'all. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for doing a great work in us. Hallelujah. I thank you for the people that's on the line already right now. I thank you for those who even can't make it. Hallelujah. Because I know that you are the one that can be everywhere at one time. Hallelujah.
Well,
that there is nothing missing. Hallelujah. And that you said where two or more are gathered in your name, that you are also in the midst. Hallelujah. So I pray right now that you just send a breakthrough on today, that somebody be healed. That somebody be delivered, that somebody be transformed by the renewing of their mind, that somebody lift up the bow down head on today. Hallelujah. That somebody receive you, hallelujah, for the pardon of their sins. Hallelujah. That somebody submit their whole will to you, knowing that you are more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever think or even imagine on today. So I thank you for what you are doing behind the scenes on our behalf, because you said faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. 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 So I thank you. Thank you. I thank you that faith, hallelujah, does not just work by itself, that we must put in the work. So I pray that you put a fire under our feet and a burning in our belly, that we can run and not be weary and walk and not fight, because you said this race isn't given to the swift nor the strong, but to the one that endured to the end. So right now we ask for endurance. Hallelujah. We ask for endurance. We ask for endurance to run this race. Hallelujah. That we don't give up, that we don't throw in the towel. Hallelujah. And I pray for those who may be in the place that they want to give up, that they do want to throw in the towel. Hallelujah. I pray that you send an anchor like never before. Rather, you use one of us to be the anchor or not, that we will speak your word boldly. Hallelujah. That we will operate in discernment like never before, that there can be nobody hurting or going through around us. Hallelujah. To where we won't tap in to be the Yah that you already designed us to be. Hallelujah. to allow you and your Holy Spirit to operate through us. Hallelujah. That lives be changed. Hallelujah. That situations be transformed. That atmospheres shift. Hallelujah. Because of the presence that's on the inside of us. And it's all because of you. And we just want to say thank you for what you are about to do in this Bible
Master.
Show.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your word in advance. Thank you that this seed will germinate in our spirit. Hallelujah. That we will grow and grow and grow. And that we thank you for it. Hallelujah. For you said man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah. So we thank you for your word. Hallelujah. We don't take it for granted. And I pray that you give us discernment of your word. Hallelujah. That we can apply every piece of it to our life. Hallelujah. And that we begin to share it with others. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you in advance.
Hallelujah.
For moving on our behalf. Thank you for moving on our children's behalf.
Oh, glory.
Thank you for moving on our enemy's behalf. Hallelujah. That they are even being changed and transformed. Hallelujah. You said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Hallelujah. And we are waiting for your word to manifest all over. Hallelujah. But because it is so. And we just want to say thank you for everything. We give you all
thank
the glory,
you,
honor, and praise. And your son, Yahshua's mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say
hallelujah.
Amen, somebody. Praise
hallelujah.
The Lord. Say
hallelujah.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that lit the fire. I can feel like the prophet said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Yeah.
For your glory.
Hallelujah. So hey, Brother Arnold, God bless you. I see you here.
Yes.
I heard your voice. Yep.
Hallelujah.
It's good to hear you, sir.
Yes, sir. How are everybody doing tonight?
Welcome,
my brother.
I don't
know how you feeling. I'm blessed.
Hello.
Man. Good.
I'm blessed, brother. Blessed.
And I see we got joined by my sister, Jackie Abrams. Jacqueline?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. How are you?
Hello.
Hey. Oh, thank
Hello.
You. Hello. God bless everybody.
God bless.
Amen. God bless.
So we're in the book of Romans, the 16th chapter. I'm going to swing this over to Brother Tavon and say, let's read and let's discern. I can give you a quick synopsis of this particular chapter.
Okay.
This is a closing letter. It's a letter, right? Book of Romans is an epistle. Most of the books we're going to read after this are epistles. They're letters that Paul was writing back and forth to the church, because there were things taking place in the church. And that's important for us as believers to recognize, because you'll always find there's something in the church that there's a question about.
Uh-huh.
No matter what church you're in, there'll always be something that you're kind of going, should we be doing that? Should we not be doing that? Was that right? Should we put this person out? Should we do this? Because we see so many things. And Paul was addressing that through these letters. He was talking to some believers, some leaders of churches. He was talking to some people that were novices in this, and he was writing letters to make sure that they had some instruction, how to move forward, because the church is not meant to be divided, even though it's a very divided institution currently. It is divided because Satan has slipped into the church, and we have to be willing to kick him out of the church by getting the knowledge we need, so when we see certain things, we know this is not God. So
I either gotta
kick him out, glory to God, or we got to get out, because there's no sense in hanging out where Satan is hanging out. It ain't gonna work for you. It'll leave you empty. It'll leave you listless. It'll leave you hopeless. It'll leave you overtaxed. It'll leave you in a lot of psychological things that you don't know why you're feeling it, but it's because Satan slipped in somewhere and the people are not quite ready to throw him out. And the reason they're not ready to throw him out is because they don't know how to get him out. So that's why we read. We want to know truth, walk in this truth, accept this as being truth, because there is nothing on this planet that is worth giving up a relationship with God for. Nothing. At least nothing that I found. I had some idols in my life. I had some addictions in my life. I had some circumstances in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
anything that separates me from the love of God, I want it gone.
Hallelujah.
I want it out. It ain't
Hallelujah.
Working for me.
Yeah.
So we're going to move forward with Romans, the 16th chapter. The summation, the summary of that is Paul is going to start teaching us the relationship, not just with the church, but he's going to start talking to them about the relationship with women in the church. One of the great lies that lets you know Satan is in the church is when somebody says a woman can't teach or a woman can't preach. And what Paul tried to share with them, and you'll see this when we get to Corinthians, he was not telling them that a woman couldn't do anything. He was trying to tell them about the different offices. He said, don't make the woman the preacher, but she can preach.
Come on.
There's certain offices that God called the female body of Christ into, and he did it purposefully. And why he did it purposefully takes place in the book of Genesis, right? After Eve fell, after Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says something that was very, very important. And he said that he was going to use the woman and her seed to put enmity between Satan and his seed.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a specific place for the female anointing that's in the church. And so many people are confused about that because they read the Bible in literally rather than figuratively and revelationally. What he wants us to do is to understand. And here's why that happens. Because God will allow a veil to be over the eyes, even of leadership, if their hearts are not right.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If their heart is not right, there'll be a veil even over the eye of leadership. They're not trying to do anything wrong, but they just can't see it right because there's a veil there because their hearts have to be a certain way. I'll give you a great example, and then we'll begin to read. In the year 2015, they asked a New Covenant Church of Christ to come into the school to mentor some kids. Now, most of us know that there's a separation between church and state. There's a separation of that. It's a rare occasion that a school, a high school, will call a pastor and say, come here and do some work for us. Because they know that you're going to talk about Jesus. And they're not necessarily, there's rules for them to not do that. And there's systems in place to prevent them. Yet they called and they asked, will we come out and talk to the kids? They had 30 kids that they sent into this class. They set up a class for us. It was myself and Elder Smith. They set up a classroom. I went to that classroom every Monday for an entire year. They had gang banging in the school. They had drug dealing in the school. And they had fights going on all the day long in the school. However, within 2 months, the fight stopped. The banging stopped.
Hallelujah.
Nobody was bringing guns to the school. It became surprising to the school that they ended up bringing the newspaper and they wrote a big article about it, got a big article about what we did in that school,
Hallelujah.
Right?
Wow.
So it is important that we understand truth. It's important that we can articulate the truth. And it's important that you don't allow anybody to keep you from telling the truth.
Oh,
and the simple truth, I was talking about enmity. The simple truth is enmity means that God has placed inside of the woman a warring spirit that most women, as my wife says, have used it against each other instead of against Satan. So Paul is going to articulate some of the giftings. He's going to honor the women of the church. Now let's read.
Amen.
Romans 16, I'll turn this over to you, Brother Tabak. And you stop when you feel like stopping. Pay attention to the spirit and stop when you need to stop.
Yes. Just bear with me on some of these words.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she have need of you.
Mm.
For she have been a succorer, is that right?
Relates to the same principle as a woman who feeds her babies through her paps or her breasts.
Yes.
She's been breastfeeding us. Praise the Lord. She's been kept us healthy. She's been mama.
Mm. A nurse of many.
Mm-hmm.
And myself. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Greet the church that is in their house.
Where?
My well-beloved Epaphroditus. I know I'm messing that up.
That's all right.
Who is
Epaphroditus?
Say it again.
Epaphroditus.
Epaphroditus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to start over at 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Arcadia.
Achaia.
Unto Achaia.
Okay, let's stop there. Yeah, let's stop right there. So, why do we think that Paul is writing this letter? Why do you think he's making this so obvious? And why do we think he even has to write a letter like this? What's happening here?
Hmm.
Anybody? Praise the Lord.
To just remind us that it's not one-sided, that, you know, the woman wasn't just created to do all this for the man, that it should be balanced out, that the woman should be supported.
Mm-hmm. Women should be uphill. If it were not for women, the church probably would not exist. That's why most churches are 80% women. Because what happened in Genesis when God said, I'm going to put enmity, I'm going to put a war in you against the devil. And women uphold the church better than men do. Men feel like they have a right to something in church. Women feel like they are right by being in church. They have if there's a war going on and they're fighting for their families in church, they're fighting for their relationships, their husbands. They're fighting for their children's school. They're fighting for their education. They're fighting for a lot of different things. When you see a woman praying, you ain't just seeing prayer. You're seeing a battle go on.
Mm.
Oh, God. A man might be praying for some new stuff. A man might pray for a better him. But a woman is praying probably more often for everything that's around her because she's battling from a whole different place than the male battles.
Mm.
The Hebrew Israelites, the Jewish hierarchy, the scribes, the Pharisees, and that word is called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin comprises all of those groups, the Pharisees, the scribes, right? The scribes were like the lawyers, the bookkeepers, the writers. The Pharisees were the people who believed in Yahweh, but they didn't believe that there was a resurrection of the human spirit. The Sadducees were a group that believed the same thing, but they didn't believe a man could be resurrected or that his spirit would go to heaven. Probably why they were sad, you see, right? They didn't see none of that. So,
that was good.
Right? So the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes were that group. Basically, they made up the Sanhedrin. They were the overseers, they were the lawyers, they were the articulate folks, and they were the ones that were sort of kind of making decisions on all the money that came in from tithing. They controlled the financial direction and prosperity of Israel. And Paul is writing this letter to say to them, you need to get with God on this, because I'm telling you, these women are so anointed, so gifted. When I send them to you, you're going to need to know how to support them. You don't have to bow down. You don't have to hunker down, but you're going to have to get down with them. You're going to have to know when God moves with them, you will need to move with them. So this is what's taking place. This is what we're digging into to pull pearls and wisdom out of. And so it's important, especially for our sisters that are on the line, that you know that your anointing is just as high and even more valued than the average man's anointing. God will use a man to preach, but God will use a woman to reach.
Amen.
She'll be preaching, and she'll be over there nurturing, suckering somebody. Oh, baby, you will be all right. Hold on for a minute, honey. No, just let me pray with you. She'll be doing that role while the man is over there thinking, well, I preached up a storm. Yeah, but you didn't see no rain. When the woman comes in, the preaching and the reaching come together. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody see that? The preaching and the reaching come together, and they work together for the salvation of souls. So don't ever be belittled or let anybody belittle you because of their religious mentality. You have to know who you are and be confident in what God is doing through you. Right? Now, I've even had some people think that I've got an issue with women preaching. I have no issue with it. What I have an issue with is, can you preach? Can you preach? Can you reach some folks with your word?
Yes.
Or are you going to sit there and emotionally sit back and talk about what you hate, what you don't like? That's a difference.
Right.
Preaching is about reaching souls and getting them to understand the most valuable thing that you could ever understand in Christ, and that is, I don't care what circumstance you're in, there's always some hope.
Amen.
God is your hope. So, right, everybody get it? So this is where they are right now, right? And Paul was trying to give them a list of some people. He said, listen, when I send these sisters, you better take care of them. And then he makes sure that they understand, you better take care of them because the Gentiles took care of them. So even if you don't, you're going to lose your blessing. It's what he's trying to tell them. If you don't take care of them, you're going to miss your blessing. And I don't know how many people know this or not, but when you take care of one of God's anointed, God releases blessings in your life that you never knew were coming. We've got so many people in the church that are so busy staying away from each other, they're missing blessings all over the place because they don't know how to get with each other. And they're supposed to be getting with each other. Now, if you ain't doing right, it's okay for me to walk away from that. But if you're somebody who's just struggling through where you are, and I got knowledge to help you get where you need to go, and I'm not sharing that knowledge with you because I'm so all stuck up over here in the corner with my fan and my hat on, and I think that I'm looking good over here in the name of Jesus, but I'm not reaching for his children, you miss your blessing. Amen.
Amen.
I hope somebody got it. So let's keep reading. Any questions on that? Anybody get this? Everybody good?
Yes.
This is what's taking place. Okay, continue to read, Brother Tamar.
Verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are not of note among the apostles,
who are of note among the apostles, who mm-hmm. also were Christ before me.
Ooh.
Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household.
Mm-hmm.
The Herodion, my kinsmen, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosis, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Acentrius, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julius, or Julia, Nereus, mm-hmm. and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Mm-hmm. Now I do you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses Uh-oh. Contrary of the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. But by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Mm.
For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet, I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your
see
feet.
That? Mm-hmm. Did we see that part? Verse 20, everybody catch that? And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly.
Yes.
Everybody see that? Amen. Real quickly, Brother Tavant. I want everybody to go to the book of Genesis. Let's go to, I think it's in the second chapter. How many of us know that whenever God speaks a thing, it becomes a principle or a law?
No,
whenever
yes.
God speaks, something becomes a principle or a law. Well,
Amen.
How do I know? I think we're going to be in the third chapter. A principle or law. Well, how do I know that, and why should I see it that way? So every morning when you get up, the sun is shining. Whether it's on this side or the other side of the earth, it's shining. God only said once, let there be light.
Mm-hmm.
He does not get up every morning saying, let there be light. So when he
right.
speaks, he speaks something into existence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He only said once, let there be grass and the trees yielding fruit. And yet today we still get oranges and apples and plums and pears and all the different things that he spoke into existence with a one-time word. Amen,
right.
somebody.
Amen.
Now you might say to yourself, I don't know how you think, but if I didn't really understand how God is functioning here, I might say to myself, well, that's good because God can do anything and praise God, look at him. But what we don't catch out of that is when he spoke you into existence, he only
mm-hmm.
had to do it one time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so So what's been happening in my life then, if God spoke me into existence, because he said he knew me before I ever entered my mother's womb, he spoke me into existence, and Satan is trying to keep me from existing.
Come on.
Amen.
Satan is the one that's been trying to get me, keep me from existing, from being what I'm called to be, and getting caught up in my concerns over my physical body, my mental state, and all those different things, because it's Satan that's attacking me in every area, every arena, in order for me to lose myself and not be able to know myself and know who God made. Because when we find out who God made, you'll find out that you were marvelously and wonderfully made. You ain't just an accident. You're not an incident. You're provident. You're providence. Your purpose has not quite been lived out because we didn't catch. He only had to do it one time. He did it once. Once was enough. And when I accepted salvation, my words connected me back to God. Once was enough. I don't have to question my salvation anymore. I don't have to question whether God loves me anymore. Once was enough. I don't have to question whether he's paying attention to my circumstance, because he knows my goings and my comings. He knows everything that he needs to know about me. So I have to stop letting Satan make me question who I am, so I can move forward to become what I was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, third chapter. I think this is where he says it. Yeah, third chapter. Let's go to around about the here we go. Let's go to 14th verse. 13th verse.
Chapter 14th verse.
Mm-hmm. Genesis 3, 4, 13, 14. Here we go. Ooh, let me go through this a little bit deeper than that. Is that okay? Because you'll get a great revelation out of it. So third chapter, I want to start off with verse 1. And I'm going to read all the way through it. Then we'll go back to Romans.
Amen.
Watch this. Catch this. Now the serpent was way more subtle than any beast of the field. Subtlety means trickery.
Mm-hmm.
Subtlety means trickery. It's important to recognize as believers, when you're dealing with the enemy, you're dealing with someone that has, he's been here since Adam. If Adam was here 100,000 years ago, he's over 100,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And you think all these little things that happen to you are the devil. But I'm trying to tell you, he's subtle. And there'll be a series of things that's happening that he'll get you with, and not a simple thing. And so you have to know his plan over resurrecting the old you is a long-term plan, not a short-term plan. And so we fool ourselves and we place ourselves in danger when we want to walk through this walk going, should nothing happen in my life. I should be able to just go. You put yourself in danger with that kind of thinking, because then you're not proportioned properly when the enemy attacks, because you don't expect it. But if you say it, you better expect that he's coming. But the thing that you got to know is, if you know who you are, you can tell him, bring that mess on, because I'm prepared. I'm double loaded. I got 2 6-shooters on my side called the Word of God. So when you bring that mess, every time you bring it, I'm firing back at you rather than falling back from you and laying someplace in the corner with my head in my hand, sitting back worrying about, oh, this is going to be a problem, that's going to be a problem. At some point, God is saying, you're going to have to shoot back. You're dealing with subtlety. Subtlety is cleverness, it's trickery. And you got to know the trick is on. That's why you can't believe everything you see. That's why he gives us now faith as the substance of things hoped for, and not the evidence of things that seem. Because if you pay attention to everything you see, you wouldn't have made it past 10. If you'd have been paying attention to what your parents went through, you'd have never became a teenager. If you'd have paid attention to everything that you saw through the life that you've been living, you'd have been gave up. But he's telling you, don't pay attention to what you see. Pay attention to who I said you are. That's the important part. Because the subtlety is out there. The devil is out there. The trouble is out there. But I'm on the inside of you. And if I'm on the inside of you, there's nothing more powerful than you. And while you're running around here shivering and trembling every time something goes wrong, you're not even catching the point. I made you to make the devil shiver and tremble, and you should be the one he's afraid of.
So
he goes on to talk about the subtle verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shouldn't eat that. Neither shall you touch it, lest you'll die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you really won't surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat that fruit, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There's a lot in here, right? You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, she had to be convinced to do wrong. And this is why I'm talking about the women, and this is why Paul is talking about the women. If you ain't careful, if you don't know who you are, your self-esteem will slip into a place where somebody else has to validate who you are. And the minute somebody has to come validate who you are, you already lost. But when you know who you are, when you know whose you are, you don't need validation. Therefore, the next man in your life will be a man of God rather than a man. The next person that comes through your door that says, girl, we oughta, you'll be looking at him going, yeah, we oughta, but if you ain't going to do what God said to do, you oughta get out of my house. You know, it's a process. You got to know who you are, right? And so let me keep going. And the eyes of them both, verse 7, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, right, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Anytime you're afraid of God, it's because you got some sin that you ain't dealt with. Anyway, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Now watch what happens here. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me, and I did eat. From the first time that Adam opened his mouth to tell that lie and justify himself as to why he made the mistake, that spirit has been in the earth ever since. That's why people make excuses for everything. That's why they won't deal with the circumstance that you put in front of them when you're trying to explain to them, this is not right, that's not right. And instead of them saying, you know, you're right, I need to work on that, they'll give you an excuse. No, it's your fault. And this is for you, for the women in here, right? Mama, it's your fault. If you hadn't have gotten pregnant at 16, I wouldn't have did it. Don't you dare fall for that lie again. You know what, mama, it's your fault because you didn't raise me right, or there was no man in my life. No, there's no excuse for people doing what they're doing except they want to do it. And so if you're not careful, you'll be walking around filled with guilt instead of what I'm getting ready to show you. You need to be filled with enmity. Here we go. Ready? Don't be filled with guilt. Here we go. So Adam points this out. Well, hey, it was her fault. And he said, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts, right, of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, watch this. But I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I'm going to put a war in her spirit to come against everything that you are. Why do you think most women can't stand a non-productive man in their life. That's enmity that's doing that. No. Yeah, you thought it was just a man. No, that's enmity saying, this ain't right. I got to fight with it. Unfortunately, if the man don't know God, he's just going to take it as an argument and not see the anointing and the gifting that God has put on you to keep the household running smooth. I hope you get this. To keep the household running smooth, right? The man is the head of the house, but the woman is the house.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The man is the head of the woman, but the woman is the house. And so many people miss the glory of what a woman is because they do not know how to see what God has done. Men turn around and try to make the woman function like the man, and then get upset when she starts talking like a man. And now I want to fight with it. But in all reality, I'm supposed to let her function as the woman. She's supposed to be the foundation. And if you pay attention and you really get a woman of God around you, you'll find out that 99% of the time God is using that woman's timing way more keen and accurately than you'll use yours. She'll know when it's time to go. She'll know when it's time to come. She'll know when it's time to move. She'll know when it's time to do this. We need to get new furniture. No, we don't need new furniture. Baby, I ain't got the money to do all that, so forth and so on. And then 4 weeks after she told you we needed to get the new furniture, here comes the family, and you embarrassed because of the furniture you got. I wish I could share some stuff with you. But, right? So everybody gets so... Enmity. Women have enmity. You have a war inside of you. But you have to know where to point that warring spirit to keep it from destroying the house that you're meant to run.
Ooh, Lord Jesus. Come on.
Somebody hears me. You destroy the enmity if it's not pointed at who it's supposed to be pointed at. Will destroy the house that God sent you to build and protect. Yeah. You'll destroy it because your mouth will cut in ways. Ooh. Anybody know that men fight with their hands? Right? When we get angry about something, we want to punch it and move it and beat it. When a woman gets angry, she fights with her words. Mm. That's enmity. Mm. And she'll cut deeper than any punch could ever hurt.
Yeah,
she'll cut you deeper to the point that she can take a man and make him feel like a 2-year-old. Anybody here? And so your enmity, right? You have anointing in you. God gave you a gift to beat Satan down with. And so many women point it now at one another. Who she thinks she is. All of that stuff, that's meant to go at Satan. It don't matter who somebody else think they are, because a person is no better than God allowed them to be. Why do I care who you think you are? What I need to care about is who's using you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Did you all get that? Do you have any questions about it?
No.
Ooh, no.
All right.
No.
Let's go back to Romans, right? Mm-hmm. And let's close out on Paul's letter.
Mm-hmm.
I really would hope and pray that the women tonight, my sisters in Christ that are here, that you walk away with a new thought about you.
New mindset.
And a new tool that you already have ingrained in you. Because when God spoke it, right? When God spoke it, it became a law, right?
Yes.
And we've been using the law the wrong way, right?
Yes.
Learn to use the law the right way. Because the law, the Bible says, watch this, the Bible says the law is for the lawless.
Mm-hmm.
And the lawlessness of life is what Satan is doing to people, through people, because they're unaware and don't know that they're usable. And if you're not careful, you'll use your words to cut up the people when you need to cut up the person using the people, the enemy, the spirit, Satan himself. That's why prayer is so important for women.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Prayer is so important for women because he gave you the gift to cut Satan down. Ooh. He gave mm-hmm. you a gift. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's go back to Romans. I'll go too deep in a minute. Let's go back to Romans, please.
Wow.
Any questions? Any comments?
Can I say something, Pat?
Of course.
I just wanted to, I was looking at it from a broader perspective, and I know you were saying that, like, that's how, you know, women look at each other. But I feel like mm-hmm. culturally that's something that happened to us through slavery because they was taught to, you know, not give their kids accolades because that only made them look better to the slave master. And it's stuff something that been passed down from generation to generation to where we have to be intentional or even confident enough to say something positive about our sister or our brother versus, you know, hating and saying, look at her, she thinks she's doing that. No, you can say it, you're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You look good in that dress mm-hmm. that you have on. You look beautiful today. Mm-hmm. But I believe it stems from slavery and them having mm-hmm. to say, well, my kid is dumb. They can't do this. They, you know, having to speak down on their kid versus giving them positive things to say because they was just going to sell their kids or whatever.
Mm. Did everybody hear what Sister Juanda said? Do we agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I definitely agree.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so tell me how you see the manifestation of it, because she's absolutely right. She's spot on.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what she said. It just comes from just generations of just doing it, and that was the forefront of it, though. It's when it was slavery with a lot of stuff. And I believe that people do that intentionally, though. You know what I'm saying? Not able to compliment each other. Brothers being able to not say what's up, you know, but always mean mugging. It just has to be a problem with us. Mm. You know, and I believe if we wasn't like that, we can conquer a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we could.
We got to mm-hmm. unlearn the behavior and be intentional about it because it was initially for something good and protection reasons. But if mm-hmm. we don't have the education behind it, we miss mm-hmm. it because mm-hmm. parents go into mm-hmm. calling their kids stupid and dumb and stuff like that mm-hmm. too. And that also stems from that because that's the things that they had to say because they would be sold in slavery. And we all have that. A lot of us have that issue in our children, too. If you ask them mm-hmm. something good about themselves, mm-hmm. our black kids culturally are stuck.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to speak mm-hmm. good or positive about yourself mm-hmm. if you just examine that. So that's something that we need to work on mm-hmm. as soon as possible. And
mm-hmm.
and this is the start of something big.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This is a start.
What do you mean, Jackie? Go ahead.
This is a start of that which is to come.
Mm-hmm.
This is the spread of it. Even if it's just this group.
Mm-hmm.
And we go out and we talk mm-hmm. to others and plant the seed in them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because what this study is doing is planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving us knowledge
mm-hmm.
of who God is and who we are.
Amen.
In Him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So if we could break down what Sister Juanda is saying.
Yes.
What is it that she's saying, if we can break it down to a simple term that we could use every mm-hmm. single day, what would that be?
The positivity and love.
Positivity and love. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Positivity and love, absolutely. How do we get to positivity and love, though? Because mm-hmm. it's one thing for us to say, I'm going to be positive and I'm going to be loving. But doesn't that part of us that slavery has produced try to reach itself up into our love and our positivity and turn us into negative and scared and withdrawn?
No.
And it doesn't.
No, it almost goes to what the sister was just saying with planting the seeds, you know, and going out and being a message you bring, you know, the conversations about, you know, putting people in tune. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's why I do what I do, though, to spread the message.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I feel like that's
you
what
know
we
what?
Need.
You can start by waking your children with love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Amen.
Wake them in love. Mm-hmm. Now, it's time to go to school. Get up now.
Mm-hmm.
No,
Yeah.
Wake your children with intention of love. That child's going to receive that throughout his whole day.
Yes.
Throughout his whole day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. we're talking now. So all right, so going back to how do you break that, and I'll tell you how the Lord helped me to break it, right? He asked me to ask myself a question. The question he asked me, or what I heard in my spirit, was, if you had not been raised in this particular society based on what your ancestors went through, and you'd have been raised in Africa, would you be the same person you are today?
No.
If you'd never been under this oppressive system, we wouldn't be, would we?
No, we wouldn't.
Because we wouldn't even know what this oppression feels like. Now, there's issues in Africa, too, right? But they're tribal issues. They're not oppressive skin color issues, right? They're not people afraid of you for being who you are. They're people that may not agree with you because your tribe thinks differently. Sort of like church. Your church is different than this church, so maybe we don't get along that well, but we still know we are the same people, right? And so when he asked me that question, I realized what he was telling me and what he was sharing with me about that scripture that says, and let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
And I finally put those two pieces together and realized he was saying, I have to unprogram myself out of Negro. I say it at church all the time. I don't know if people get it. Mm-hmm. I have to unprogram the Negro that's in me. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer Negro.
Amen.
I am purely Black. Glory to God. I was sitting in a meeting with a whole group of Caucasian doctors and lawyers and some other people, and they were trying to talk to me about Christ and Christianity, and but they were very careful. I could hear it. You know, because you can pick up on things when you discern. And I could hear that they were trying very hard to know how to address me because they were scared that I had Negro issues. They didn't want the Negro to show up, right?
Yeah.
So I listened to them real well, and I said to them, I said, let me ask you something, brothers. I said, have any of you read Romans 2:11? And everybody said, yeah, of course. And he talked about, and I said, what does it say? He said, so for God is no respect of persons. And then I shared my revelation with him. And my revelation was this. When I looked at that scripture, I thought about it because of this. Let's read it real quick, if I can, right? Romans 2:11. God bless you, whoever just joined. Thank you for being here. Romans 2:11.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you're here, brother. I heard your voice.
Yes.
You're a man that makes yourself known, sir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, it used to be a church mouse. now you're the church lion. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Right? So Romans 2, let's start at 6. let's start at 6, talking about God. And it says, does everybody have it? Please see this. It's an amazing revelation. So he says,
I'm driving right now, Apostle.
Oh, that's okay. Read it later, please, though. I want you to read this. He's talking about, he says, talks about the inexcusability of life, and you just can't keep making excuses like Adam was doing when he came down to Eve. Because you never know if Adam had just turned to God and repented, it might have changed the whole outcome of the world. He didn't repent, he lied. He hid himself. He ran from the demon instead of facing it. Anyway, so he says, God who will render to every man according to the man's deeds, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 6. Verse 7. Mm-hmm. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing, to them who by patient continuance. Patient, you've got to keep going. The race is, as Sister Hawanda was praying, the race is neither to the swift nor to the strong, but to them that endure. You got to have the patience to continue this walk. Anyway, just by patience, continuance, and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, everlasting life, and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, that's argumentative, do not obey the truth, but only obey unrighteousness and indignation and their own wrath, their emotional structure. That's what wrath is. He says, tribulation is going to come and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. And then he says, of the Jew first and also then of the Gentile. Verse 10, he says, but glory, honor, and peace is going to be to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Then verse 11 winds it up with, for there is no respect of persons with God. And so I read this, and I'm talking to this group, and I said, when I first read it, I thought it was about behavior. Because that's what this sounds like. You do right, you're going to get right. So I thought it was just about behavior. And then I, as I prayed and meditated on it, I realized something deeper. God does not see color.
Spirit.
It doesn't matter to him whether you're black, white, Spanish, Indian. None of that is the point. The only thing God respects is his principles, not a person. Mm-hmm. And so I told the people that, and I said, and I shared with them, when I read this, I ended up crying because I realized I was prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of blew their mind for a black person to talk about his racism instead of a black person talking about their racism. I said, because I really understood that I blamed the white man for everything, and never, just like Adam, I never blamed myself.
Right.
I never looked at me and realized the only thing that should be holding me back is Jim Monroe. Your color has nothing to do with it. And so when I said that, it sort of kind of lit the room up for them. And then we actually had a real talk. We were able to get some things accomplished because they stopped walking on the eggshells expecting a Negro to show up. And so when God freed me of this mentality that was Negro, because that Negro mentality, it always makes you a little bit held back and reserved because you're expecting white people to treat you a certain way. You expect people to look at you a certain way because you've been told they're going to treat you a certain way. But let me tell you something about the glory of the God that lives in you. When you walk into the room becomes holy ground. Wherever you go is holy ground.
Hallelujah.
And if you know who's in it, and you know who you are, when you walk in the door, you don't expect people to treat you bad. You start showing random acts of love and kindness, and the next thing you know, they're sitting back trying to figure out how they can help you.
Yes.
How can I help you?
Hallelujah.
What can I do for you? And so it's the breaking, and going back to what my sister Jackie said, we have to do random acts of love and kindness, not just in our house. You have to take it into the street.
That's right.
If you see someone carrying bags, you know that that's too bad. You know you wouldn't want to do it. Why would I not stop and ask, ma'am, do you need help? My mother raised me, just as a side note, my mother raised me and all of my brothers and sisters with great manners. We were told to say yes, ma'am, told to say yes, sir, call people Mr. So-and-so. call people Mrs. So-and-so. We were taught that. Mm-hmm. I walked away from that thinking because in my head, it felt like slavery.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like that's coming from you being oppressed, mama, all your life. Mm-hmm. I ain't calling nobody yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, unless they earn my respect.
Yes.
Anybody feel like that?
Oh, boy.
Honest.
Amen.
Anybody feel like that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
When I read this, the Lord taught me something totally different. Now, let me go back to what he showed me. He showed me if a person is alive and on this planet with all the hell they're going through, like all the hell you went through, they deserve to be said yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, too.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't got
that's
nothing
right.
to do with you being subservient no more.
That's
now
right.
it got
that's
something
right.
to do with you being a servant.
That's
not
right, servant, man.
But the servant. And so I can yes, ma'am, anybody and not feel like I'm stepping fetch it. Not feel
that's
like
right.
I'm
Stanley right.
or buckwheat. I don't have to, that feeling does not appear anymore inside of me because I
yes.
now know people deserve to be loved like this
yes.
because it also
yes.
does something else. Everybody listening? I'm going to tell you something else it does.
Mm-hmm.
You start talking to young people and you talk to old people, doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
and you address them as, hey, young man, how are you? Rather than, what's up, bro?
Mm-hmm.
You change
uh-huh.
their spirit.
That's
your
right.
words changes
right.
who they are. Because
that's
when
right.
they reply to you,
no.
they'll reply to you with the same respect that you offered them. But if you
mm-hmm.
turn around and
absolutely.
Go, what's up? You sent the message, I'm just like you. I got those same Negro issues. I don't feel like anybody deserves
mm-hmm.
any respect.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think, I didn't say all that. You don't have to because your spirit precedes you.
Yeah.
And when I get
yeah.
all chummy and all hunky-dory with everybody, I'm sending the spirit
no.
that you're supposed to be my friend rather than you have a discerned right to life. Anybody getting this? You
mm-hmm.
have a place in life, and if I keep it in its place,
yes,
I'll get along with all people. That's why your Bible says, let every man get along with and be peaceable with everyone as much as he can. Why?
Mm.
I have to learn how to bring honor back into my life. And that helps to break that Negro mentality. Because with
yeah.
the Negro mentality, we've never been honored. We didn't know how to honor each other. And we've used that weapon on ourselves for years. It's
mm-hmm.
like what the Black Panther said. They took the chains off your legs and put them on your mind. And it's time to get the chain off.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Take
mm-hmm.
off the chains.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it.
I can respect and honor everybody now. And I
yes,
don't have
yes.
those concerns about how you see me. My concern is, did you see Christ in me? Because if you
yes.
didn't see that, I failed
yes.
in the relationship and I failed in the communication somewhere. Because
yes.
they should see
amen.
Me. By the time they walk away from you, they should be going something different about that person.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
real different about them. they don't have. Do you know that most Caucasians can sense your hesitancies? They can
mm-hmm.
sense your fear like a dog. If you go around a dog and you're scared of them, they start barking. Be the gentlest dog in the world, but they see you. They can smell your fear and they start barking at you.
Yes.
But when you walk up on the dog confidently and lovingly, the average dog will walk right past you or walk right up to you
mm-hmm.
because they can sense it. And it's important that we begin to transmit the message that you are.
Yeah.
I hope that transmit
yes.
the message
yes.
that you are.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I always have been, because that's been the trick to make us think that we ain't.
Mm-hmm.
The whole setup is to make us think that we ain't.
Down
the picture that they created for superiority. That's what.
Mm-hmm. And knowing and an amazing thing about what you just said, Sister Juana, knowing that if you really were able to go into some of them backwoods areas of Mississippi and Tennessee and Louisiana and Alabama and Florida, you'd find some Caucasians that you would be looking at and going, this boy is dumb as a box of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
You would, because they're not all educated.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
right.
all they're not all sophisticated.
Right.
That's an illusion. Yeah. Did I get that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even and I praise God, because the Bible says it, and I'm gonna say this to you all too, because I want you to carry this away tonight. The Bible says you're meant to be seated in heavenly places.
Yes.
Before, and again, my sister's here, she can give living witness and testimony. I've been homeless. I've been addicted to heroin. The man that I was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
The man that God remade.
Hallelujah. Don't look like what
you
know.
Yeah. Ooh, glory. Glory. Did anybody notice this said by the renewing of your mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
To renew means it was already there.
Yes.
You just needed
Hallelujah.
To put it back into place.
Yeah.
Right. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So when the
glory
renewing took place, now I'm sitting with mayors and governors and people that literally I'd have been shaking in my boots to be sitting in a meeting with them.
Yeah.
Because I would think that I had nothing to say to them.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. But now that we know Jesus.
Yeah. Come on.
You got inside of you the world is starving for. Gloria, I hope you hear.
Yes.
The world is starving for what's inside of you. They just need to see it enough to trust it. And I guarantee you, you will not be the tail. You'll become the head. I guarantee you, you won't be beneath. You'll find yourself in the front of things, because that's what God is making of you. Because he is an awesome God who said you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and a peculiar people. And so for me to be a holy priesthood, I got to know that means wherever I go, somehow God is intending to put me in charge. Wherever you go, God is intending on putting you in charge. So do not. No matter what the circumstance is, never again allow yourself to be intimidated by the environment you're in. Because when he put you in the environment, it was for the purpose of you changing it and bringing it into a place where he puts you in the lead of that environment. Why? So that he can use you to do what they won't do, because they don't know him like you do. Glory to God. Especially the women. You are super anointed. You are super called, supercharged with a word that says you have enmity. You have a warring spirit against Satan. And you're supposed to bruise his head.
Yes.
Mm.
Bruise him.
Hallelujah.
Bruise him.
Glory.
Not the people. Bruise the devil.
Talking
to anybody tonight? Praise the Lord. Anybody hearing this?
Praise the Lord. Yes, I am.
Yep. So how do we approach our next day? Can we go out and just do random acts of love and kindness and not attach ourselves to the act? Right? If you attach yourself to the act and somebody rejects you, you'll feel bad. If you attach God to the act and you do it, And they don't treat you right, it's God that's feeling bad, and he's the one that's dealing with them, and you don't have to. Random acts of love and kindness for people. That doesn't mean give away your money. It doesn't mean give away your house, your car, let people move into your house. But it does mean that you take your house wherever you go, and you just love some folk and say thank you and be kind to them. Walk away with a real smile on your face, not a phony. Yeah. I put this big thing on my face to try to pretend like I'm, you know, I'm this person. It'll break the spirit of Negro. It really will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so we're open now for discussion. So what are your thoughts? What is everybody receiving out of this tonight? I'll start with Brother Tavon, because I know you've got some interesting stuff to say.
Yeah, hey, my mind is a beautiful thing. I've just been listening and thinking. But you know me, I'm always in the spirit, always, especially when it comes to the Word of God. I just want to kind of talk about a little bit about what we read in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the spirit realm, food is really information.
Mm-hmm.
So go over what we read a little bit. When the woman was telling the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden," but it was a certain tree they couldn't eat from that was in the midst of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And the serpent said unto them, and unto the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof," so eating, "then your eyes shall be open."
Mm-hmm.
So this information open the eyes, and I'm gonna prove it's food. It is the food is information. He said, "And ye shall be as gods, knowing." So she ate some food or information. Her eyes were opened, and now she knows something. Knowing good and evil. So the information gave her some knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And when the woman saw that the trees was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, information that makes you wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened. So it makes me think, man, what, were their eyes literally closed? They were walking strictly 100% in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Walking and talking with God. But this information that they ate prematurely, because you know God is a God of purpose. That tree was there, there for a reason. But I believe they ate it prematurely. It's kind of like my little ones. There's certain things that they're ready for that conversation or that information because they're too young. They're not ready yet. I wouldn't have a conversation about the birds and the bees with a 3-year-old. So their eyes are open. Now they are looking with their eyeballs. And they realized that they were naked. So they were naked the whole time but didn't realize it.
The description.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This spiritual realm is an invisible realm.
Mm-hmm. It sure
is. Nothing physical in an invisible realm. So they heard the footsteps of the Lord as a voice walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." And he said,
Who told thee that? Who told you? Who told him? The information told him. He didn't say, what did you eat? He said, who told you you were naked? So what I get from this is we are all carnal until we're born again of the spirit. We shall not walk by sight of the eyeballs like Adam and Eve began. We need to go back to walking in the spirit and hearing the voice of footsteps, opening our eyes of understanding. Because in the spirit, you see by understanding. You don't see by your eyeballs, because there's nothing to see.
Right.
So God said that we don't understand. Therefore, we don't know. Therefore, we perish. So we are blind if we don't understand. So we were talking about waking our people up. Coming out of this illusion that we're Negroes with a Negro or a slave mentality. So we need to feed our people the correct information so their eyes of understanding can be open. Amen.
That's amen.
I can
the eyes of, I know you can, because I know who you are. Praise the Lord. And if I could, piggyback on that, if there is a point where we have to look at the things around us and deal with them because they do approach us. But if you look at them from the eyes of life, you'll respond the way life has trained you.
Amen. Amen.
Does that make sense? You'll respond the way life has trained you. I can remember, and I'm sure some of you all have similar stories. I can remember as a young man growing up when I ran into a problem, the first thing I did was search my memory for somebody in my family that dealt with it, people that I know, what would they say, so I would know how to deal with it. Does anybody remember doing that?
Yes.
Or was that just my world? Right?
No.
I would think about it and go, well, my brother would have did this, right? I heard him deal with a situation like this. So you look for a validation point to deal with anything in your life. That is the reason why he said, I sent my word to heal you. Because if you read that book, and I mean, I don't care whether you read an NIV, a King James Version, if you read that book, it will open the eyes of your understanding because you're eating something new now.
Yes. Amen.
And the information will translate. It doesn't do it all of a sudden like most people would like for it to do. And the reason that he doesn't do it all of a sudden is because God has to know he can trust you with the deeper secrets of God.
Right.
Let me try it again.
Right.
He has to know you. It doesn't make sense to arm Satan. And if I'm not ready to move in this thing the way God wants him to move, then the book will be concealed. I'll be reading what's called logos, right? That's that's the Greek word for words. I'll be reading logos. When I tell God I'm ready and I'm sincerely going to try to do it your way, he'll turn logos into rhema.
That's
where
right.
They hit your spirit and you'll go, I just now know, and now I know how I'm supposed to deal with this. You 100%. Stop searching the mind of people that have spoken to you, and you start searching the mind of Christ. Every circumstance in my life, and I'm this is absolutely transparent, family. Every circumstance in my life, I now search the mind of Christ to know what should I do rather than Jimmy's mind. Because if I search Jimmy's mind, the reaction and the reflex is going to be completely different. If I search the mind of Christ and I recognize there's a word that deals with this, God, how would you, that WWJD thing, what would Jesus do? That asking that question consistently of myself causes me to hesitate on every circumstance until I get an answer to deal with it. If somebody comes along and they want to argue with me, I got to back away because I need to know how to deal with this. And if I just reflex, just react on them, something will come out that I'm going to be ashamed of or feel bad about, or it got so far out of hand, you can't stop the thing. But if you can back away long enough and just say, you know, I'll get back to you tomorrow. You know what? That's a great question. Give me a minute and I'll get back to you. And then go someplace and meditate and watch and see, won't God speak to you and give you revelation on how to deal with every circumstance. And you'll be amazed at how wise you've gotten.
That's because you're speaking in spirit.
Yes, sir.
Spirit and truth. That's what his word is. So you have to have that language. That means you have to totally melt into him.
Sold out.
You know, not to cut anybody off, but earlier in the week, when I was doing my personal study, Pastor, we spoke about this before, about baptism. And, you know, a friend is getting baptized soon, he was telling. And that night I was thinking, I was going over scriptures, and I'm thinking, and I'm meditating the word. And I thought to myself, when the disciples were walking with the Lord Jesus, were they born again? In the spirit? I realized the disciples weren't born again yet.
Yes, sir.
They weren't born again until the day of Pentecost.
Yes,
the
sir.
The Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the rebirth happened that day. Being when you're baptized in water, you're immersed in water.
Yes.
But the water cannot fill you.
That's right.
When they were baptized in the Spirit of God filled the room in which they were sitting. So they were back, they were immersed in that moment in the spirit. The room was filled with the spirit. So they were immersed in it. And then they were filled with it. So it's a kind of a different baptism. Water baptism, you can't be filled with the water that you're immersed in. But when they were baptized in the Spirit, they were filled with the Spirit at the same time. So it made me think, when we were reading Acts, the book of Acts, I'm not sure the chapter, but
first, second, and third
disciples or believers.
And they were
asked, have you received, let me get it right. They were asked, I'm going to go to it real quick. Then said Paul, John barely baptized. I'm sorry, let me go back. He said, it came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what he said? And he said, unto what then were you baptized?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, unto John's baptism. Oh, they then said, Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Repentance. That's right.
Saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Because when they were baptized by the Spirit, they were filled with the Spirit. When they were baptized by water, they weren't filled with the Spirit.
That's absolutely correct.
So Paul was,
does everybody know that?
How
John, yes, sir. We talked about that one Sunday, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the key to all this is the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, we won't get revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot mm-hmm. obtain revelation of the Word of God by just mere men or women. Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It only mm-hmm. comes by Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
After he said, look, I must leave you, but I will send you another comforter, a comforter.
Mm-hmm.
I must leave. It is better for you that I leave you.
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing has to happen in order to be a genuine Christian.
Yes.
To really bruise the head of the devil, you have to have the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
To do all these miraculous things, for the signs and the wonders to follow a Christian,
yeah.
It is by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That is the key.
Yes.
Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
So this is my approach. I'm just sharing mm-hmm. my approach and my studies and the importance thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's sorry to say, and it's in the scriptures. If we approach and study the scriptures correctly, properly, we will understand that most didn't understand the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Most churches
mm-hmm.
today don't understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. They
mm-hmm.
most people I speak to have this concept in their mind that the Father is the big man, then under him is Jesus, and then under him is the Holy Spirit. No. Just me personally, I recognize that the person of the Holy Spirit is undermined when that is the key to have a prosperous life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Because it's through the Holy, and how one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit is your tongue language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is your tongue language. And mm-hmm. a lot of people, they quench the Holy Ghost because when it's coming upon them, they stop it.
Mm.
They feel it. They're sitting in church, the music, the worship is going on, and they feel this overwhelming, oh my God, it's like I'm getting ready to lose my mind, and they're afraid of it. And they kind of go, well, I can't let anybody see me act like this. But I want you to understand, if you lose your mind, you ain't lost nothing because it's your mind that's been holding you back.
Yeah.
It's the mind of Christ that I'm trying to get. So if I have to lose this one to get that one, it's a fair exchange. Trust me. It's a fair give up. So many people quench the Holy Ghost. They stop at that point, or it gets a little bit too intense for them. They don't want to let it happen, and they fight it, right? And you shouldn't fight
it. I do that. I be feeling like my tongue be wanting to say that, and I stop it, though. I don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
I do that. And for a long time, I was stopping the Holy Spirit from really, like, dwelling within me when I felt like it was making me soft. Like, no, that's mm-hmm. too soft. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, no, I can't do it, but stop. And sometimes to a certain, I feel like I do still do that to a certain extent, kind of like what I was saying last Thursday when we were talking. You know,
mm-hmm. Your words you just spoke, saying to a certain extent, stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let it flow out. Let it flow out.
That's the immersion, and that's the doorway. That's Straight Street. You have the door, you have the gate. And you're refusing to walk through it. That's all it is. Because you're afraid of what you look like. There's a pride issue there that God is still trying to deal with. That's
right.
Pride doing that.
Right.
And as a believer, someone who truly loves the Lord, pride has to go.
It
really does.
As long as
pride is in me, if I do something wrong and somebody notices it or points it out, pride will make me go, no, that's not what happened. You know, there was this. It brings me back to that moment of Adam that I can't accept the fact that, thank you. You know, we've got some people, and I've had this happen to me before, and I told someone, you know, there's no such word as sinner, right? That's one of the sort of kind of heelish back in the woods country. You can be playing with getting ready to go into and about to, and the person was becoming a pastor, and they took that as some kind of a judgment rather than someone encouraging them to be their best. When you've got pride in you, you can never be your best, because your pride keeps making you a mess, and it keeps hiding you from God.
Oh God. I Brother Arnold, I wanted to tell you something about what helped me, because I know exactly what you're talking about. But once I realized that the culture is a killer. What molded us was this culture that's not real. Mm. And its foundation is based on the image. And it's wrong. So once I understood that God calls his country the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. You know, because this country we grew up in this physical world, USA, United States of America, the culture that we are from is not good. It taught us wrong.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Fed that same food that we just read about.
Yeah.
So that's what it exposed us to, this imagery. I ain't no punk, you know. We don't want to look soft, but the more I read about the Lord Jesus, he was soft, but he wasn't soft. See, we take meat for weakness, but it's not. So once I realized what soft isn't, and it's cool to be what they would call soft, because it's the world is backwards. Mm-hmm. I embrace it. It helped me. Now the
Bible
is soft, because I understand what it is. We're servants. Servants always look soft.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In that
Amen
world,
to that.
I really pushed past the concept of the illusion. You know what I mean? Like, I had got that a while ago. Kind of like when I got the point of, like, you know, being soft is a good thing. You know, like, I'm over that part of it. I feel like now it's more of my pride.
Mm,
you know?
That's what I said. Yep. It's a pride issue.
Like, yeah, like my pride, and that's like, I'm not understanding it. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to kind of like let that go. Like I want to, but I don't. You know, like it's like resisting. Like, here, no. You know what I mean? Like, if that makes sense.
Not when you give a gift to God.
Nope.
That's how you let go of it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a gift. You give it to God.
Mm-hmm.
He can
deal with it. I love the word you use, Jackie, gift. And let me explain the gifting part, because I agree it is a gift. And here's the gifting part. I had one of my adopted brothers said something to me when I was about 20, 21 years old. And that was back during the time when we were out there doing all kinds of wrong. He was teaching me how to live in the wrong. And he, don't ever let anybody get in the back seat. Don't do that. You get in the back seat. Let them get in the front so you can watch them. All kinds of little pearls of surviving in hell he handed me. But he said something that stuck with me even more than all of that. And he said this. He said, there's two things a man can do to get himself hurt. And I said, what's that? Underestimate a person or overestimate them. I said, well, why is that? He said, because when you underestimate a person, you don't see them coming. When you overestimate them, you put too much protection around yourself and you might miss your blessing. I said, oh. Wow. So here's the gift part. So the gift part is when God humbles us, he is putting us in a position that they don't see you coming. Because deep down inside of you, there's still a man who knows how to fight, knows how to protect himself, knows how to do all those things. That man still exists. He is just suppressed by the Holy Spirit, who is now the leader. And so it doesn't mean that I'm any weaker than I've ever been. It just means I'm a lot more invisible to people than I've ever been. And they don't know what's coming at them. Because here comes this, all this man with all this gentleness that they haven't, that you can't figure it out. So it really is a gift to be humble. Right? Mm-hmm. Jesus said these words, know ye not that I could have called down legions of angels against you? That meant he had power.
Yes.
But rather than to call down legions of angels, he said, I must die. Then he goes on to explain that a grain of corn, if it doesn't fall to the ground, the other corn can't grow. I have to give myself because I got to go into the, I got to let them do this in order for me to grow a nation of people that are going to be so strong in their conviction with God that one day there's going to be a spotless and a blemishless church that comes out of it. So don't be afraid of being humble. Don't be afraid of being the good guy. Don't be afraid of the person that's always taking the high road. As Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high.
Right. Yep.
That is the nature of our being. When they go low, it's time for me to go high because I'm not going to give them that power over me. Because anytime you make me defensive, you brought power in on my life.
Yes.
And I'm reacting to your power rather than making you react to mine.
Right.
Glory to God. Does that make sense? So we're at 7:21. Are there any other closing thoughts before we close out in prayer? We've been here for quite a while.
No?
All right, praise the Lord. Jackie,
praise the Lord. No, I'm just enjoying Jimmy. This is so good for me.
Amen.
It's very good for me. So I thank you.
Sister Hawanda. Oh, praise the Lord. We're glad you're here.
Thank you, and I bless you.
You can't imagine how powerful that is to have your sister in on Bible studies.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful gift to me from God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed by it. Sister Hawanda, closing thoughts? I don't think she can hear us, or she's on mute. Sister Hawanda, are you there? All right.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I was on mute talking. I just wanted to say yes.
Yep.
All right.
I just wanted to say yes. And I just wanted to refer back to what Brother Taban was talking about in Genesis, and then just another nugget for my brother Arnold before we leave. Mm-hmm. When he explained in Genesis about the beginning and being tricked, that was the beginning of the flesh being at war with the spirit. So it's a war in our members.
Mm.
And that's what I just want to remind you of, Brother Arnold, but that it's your flesh worn with your spirit, man. And
if
you think about it from that way, which one would you rather give in to, the flesh or the spirit?
Amen.
Because even speaking from the beginning, like, yeah, we fully walked in the spirit before they got deceived by the serpent. And then the eyes were open, and that was only to the flesh. They was connected to everything fleshly. They knew they was naked, you know, that fear came upon them and everything else. So that's just some examples of what side you would want to be on. And I know you said it's a fight, but you equipped to fight. And I just wanted to encourage you that you equipped to fight when you choose his side, and it's okay to surrender all the way to the Most High, because I realize the part of your pride is your survival mechanism of what you had to be.
Come on
all
now,
of this time.
Bless
laying
God.
That part down. But we was talking about that on Thursday as well, that ain't nobody big enough to box with Yah. So the part that you lay down, they gonna have to stand before him when you stand on business for him.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good.
Hey,
amen.
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 You got it.
Brother
DeWine, thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, God bless. All glory to the Most High.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No, I'm just I get on Bible study every week, Pastor, and that's about it. And enjoy the message. Yes, it's all good news. Every time we get on Bible
gospel, yes, the good news. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Dewan. So, Brother Taban, if you'd be kind enough to close us out in prayer, sir.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for this beautiful session of studying your word. Thank you for feeding us truth by your spirit under the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Thank you as we go that we meditate on what we receive tonight and meditate on it and grow in the truth that we got tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And thank you enough for my brothers and sisters. How we come together on one accord every week to grow in grace and to grow our faith and to be servants, ministers to our brothers and sisters and to the world, whoever comes in our that you manifest and they know Jesus is real. That is our in Jesus Christ's name, we pray on tonight. Amen.
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 Amen, everybody.
Amen.
Love you all. We're starting our walks again this Saturday, our peace and prayer walks this Saturday. So if you're in Madison, Sister Hawana, if you're in Madison, please come join us. Let's because this is one of the first random acts of love and kindness we can do. We can go out and ask people, please stop killing each other. Please. I mean, we're all tired of this.
Yeah.
And the other side of this, something that the Lord said to me as we leave, he told me, he said, you know, it's amazing how the entire black community will come out, break windows, burn up cars, mark up sidewalks, if a young black man is killed by a police officer. When young black men kill each other, everybody's silent.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible message. It's a terrible message to send throughout the world that we don't care enough about our own unless we're really protesting the system that's out here. We need to protest what it's done, and we need to let our kids know we're not for this. And it doesn't have to be a big thing, but if you have five people in your community and you know some of those trouble spots, and you walked around saying, we love you with the love of Christ, we want the we want peace, and you stopped and prayed, some of those young men will see you and go, they do care about us.
Yes.
So this is something where they know you don't care.
Yeah.
Amen. So, so that's a great way. Random acts of love and kindness, that's what our summary is. We said we would start doing it. Let's just do it. Let's just let God be God through us. And then wherever you can speak peace to a young man, young woman, speak it. Because our people are annihilating each other.
Yeah.
Too often, too much because they don't have hope. Hope is a lack of hope is causing that. So let's keep that in prayer, please, everyone. So we can see maybe a little less of this and a little more of Christ. Right? I love you all with the love of Christ. And we will talk. Oh, there's the thing tomorrow. Brother Arnold will have the group meeting if anybody wants to attend that. Starts at 5:30. Please show up. And let's show out in the name of Jesus. All right?
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Amen. God bless everybody. Good night.
God bless you.
Love you all.
Love you too.
Love you all. Love you all.